Moj, what's happening?
Well, first off, now this explains why Jason Strudwick was in drag yesterday when you're talking about the donkey story, right?
So. Yeah, that is very true.
He needed a pet for his kids.
Exactly. You know what?
Nine of them.
He wasn't around yesterday, now that you say it. Wait a second.
There you go. It's all adding up. Connect the dots, guys.
Majo, did he come in late to work yesterday?
He was a few minutes late.
Yeah, exactly. No.
Brain trust of the donkey theft ring.
Yeah, exactly.
Who would steal a donkey?
A donkey?
I mean, what's the purpose?
I have no idea. That's a classic. Like, those girls must have been they got to be a little lubricated, you would think.
Like, if not one, but two.
Like, if you're stealing something, donkey's definitely not even in the top 30 of things you'd steal.
Money, cars, entertainment systems, whatever. Jewelry.
Sneak peek. Something.
A donkey.
Yeah. Jim Benning, Edmonton-born, Toronto draft pick, been in the NHL a long time. All the reports, Moja, he's coming to Vancouver. What's he bringing?
Well, what he's bringing is a great eye for talent. You're talking about an individual who's had a lengthy career in the National Hockey League, first off with Buffalo, then with Boston. Talking to people that I know in that Boston organization, some scouts and stuff, and you know, even some of the players, they just rave about Jim Benning and his knowledge of the game, his knowledge for players in the league, just a great eye for talent. And I think that's the biggest thing that Jim Benning is going to bring to the table for the Vancouver Canucks. He's an up-and-comer, and it's interesting because a lot of people here in Vancouver are already sold on Jim Benning and his resume. But what's the real issue in Vancouver, guys, is does he rebuild or does he retool? So that's the great debate that's going on in Vancouver right now in terms of what Jim Benning should do when he eventually gets here.
Bob, I think the Canucks got it right with this one. Benning isn't recycled goods. He's not the biggest name on the marquee if you did a league-wide search, but he's paid his dues, as you mentioned, assistant GM in Boston. He's been in player development for years. This is a guy who's really learned the hockey ops end of things after his playing career, hasn't he?
Yeah, he has. And, you know, it's his great strength. People talk about his eye in terms of scouting. And interestingly, we talked to Craig Button last night, guys, who, you know, went through a similar process leaving Dallas and their scouting department and moving to Calgary. And one of the questions that I threw to Craig was, what's the biggest challenge when you're going from that type of responsibility to, of course, being the general manager of the team? And Craig said that's the biggest thing is you got to step away from the scouting because you have to look at the big picture. And that's probably going to be one of Jim Benning's first challenges is, you know, to delegate in terms of the scouting. Yeah, he'll obviously have an impact in that department, but at the same time, he's going to have to look at the bigger picture here in Vancouver in terms of what he does with the Canucks. And, you know, a lot of talk as well, guys, in terms of what Benning brings to the table and his acumen in terms of knowledge around the league and such. And they think it's a perfect complement for where Trevor Linden is in this organization right now. Remember, Trevor Linden hasn't been in the game for a few years. He's going to be, quote, the PR guy, the guy that can go out there and, you know, spread the goodwill of the franchise around. And trust me, there's a lot of that to go around after the Mike Gillis regime. So, you know, Trevor Linden's going to be that guy that'll do a lot of the handshaking and the kissing the babies and such, whereas Jim Benning, who isn't as gregarious, who isn't that type of personality, will really be left to focus on the hockey aspect of things.
Looking at the Canucks and how this team is built, you know, they're not old, Moj. They don't have a lot of young guys yet. They're really kind of seems to me anyway to have a window of 1 or 2 years. But I guess the big question is going to be Ryan Kessler. Do you think he gets dealt, or do you think Benning brings him back?
You know, that's the million-dollar question. And I think you're right when you look at the Canucks. They're kind of caught in no man's land. When you look at this roster, I mean, it's not like you can say we're going to go with the youth movement because there's not really that many really good young prospects that are coming up other than, say, Horvat and Shinkarik. And then on the other side, you can't say, well, we're going to pack it in because you still have some players who have some, you know, some tread left on the tire, so to speak. And that's a big-ticket item here in Vancouver is what do you do with Ryan Kessler? Because if you trade him, you're basically sending a message that we're going to start, you know, building for the future and moving from there. If you keep him, well, then you're in that let's go for it. We have maybe a year or two window to get something done until the Sedins fall off the cliff. But I will say this, and I found this out towards the tail end of the year from a couple of people around the club. The one thing that, you know, hurts Kessler, he's not the most liked guy in the room. In fact, the players had a players-only meeting at the start of the year in which Kessler wasn't present. and basically decided to take the A off of his jersey. So when you hear stories like that, I don't know how you keep him on your team.
Yeah, that's interesting. That's the first I've heard of that one. When you talk about the GM position, like I said, I think Benning's the right call. But my understanding is the Canucks had a talk, and more than a passing talk, with Scott Housen out of Edmonton. Is that true, and what do you know about that?
I haven't, to be honest, guys, I haven't heard much about that in terms of Housen. The one that we've heard over and over is Benning, that the Canuck organization has talked to Benning twice. In fact, Cam Neely actually confirmed that yesterday in his media availability session. But, you know, we've heard names thrown around. Housen's been one. The other name that we heard is Tim Burke out of San Jose, one of their head scouts down there. So those are the names that have been floated around. And, of course, a lot of speculation in terms of the coaches. I mean, we've heard Barry Trotz's name. He appears to be the front runner. John Stevens out of L.A., of course, has been a name. Even Willie Desjardins, his name has come up here the last few days. So, yeah, you know, I've heard the Housen thing as well, but I haven't heard anything official in terms of, like, you know, what the Canucks have, if they've officially talked to him or asked the Oilers for permission.
Now, Benning's been around for a long time, Moach, and he's been an assistant GM, but this is his first time as a GM. He comes from Boston. Jeff Ward's an assistant coach. Do you think he would go with a rookie GM and a rookie head coach, or because he's a rookie GM, he's going to want an experienced guy who has at least some NHL coaching experience?
Well, you know, the name that we've heard from Boston has been Doug Huda, of course, the former NHL defenseman, has been an assistant in Boston for the last few years. That's the name that's been really prominent here in Vancouver. But I'll say this. I mean, if I'm Trevor Linden and I'm a rookie at my position as, you know, director of hockey ops, I'm going to have a rookie GM and a rookie coach. I think you need some experience to draw from within the organization. And I think when it's all said and done, you're going to be looking at a guy who does have experience as a coach in the National Hockey League. And I'm thinking Barry Trotz or Stevens will probably be one of them. Either of those guys will probably wind up pushing the Canucks. I just can't see this rookie trioika, so to speak, of a rookie VP of hockey ops, a rookie general manager, and a rookie coach. And I know a lot of people have kicked that around as well. And it's not really, you know, cutting the grade, so to speak, with a lot of the media and the hockey fans in the city.
Yeah, exactly. And, Bob, as you know, we're getting a bit of a taste of that here. Craig McTavish, as a rookie GM, well-known guy, obviously, in the Edmonton area, former coach here, and Dallas Eakins, a rookie NHL head coach last year, didn't necessarily work out like they had hoped. I would put my money, as you said off the top, on a guy like Barry Trotz. Man, he dragged a team with zero offensive talent into the playoffs for years. It would seem to me he ticks a lot of the boxes for the Canucks.
Well, you know, it's interesting because there's a significant portion of the fans in Vancouver that aren't on board with the Trotz hiring. And I find it really ironic, and this is why. Because John Tortorella was criticized the entire year for not putting his players in a position to win, for basically trying to put a square peg into a round hole, right? So basically people were on Tortorella for the entire year talking about the fact that this guy didn't utilize the personnel that he had on his team to the best of their abilities. So you got a guy like Barry Trotz who does exactly that thing in Nashville. It wasn't like he was blessed with 50 goal scorers on that team. I mean, you have defensemen like Weber and Suter and Cody France and Ham Hughes, all those great young defensemen that they had there at one point or another. Kimmo Timonen was there too. So it's like, so he goes to a defensive style, and yet now the fans in Vancouver are saying, well, he's too defensive. Well, no, that's what he had. That was, you know, hey, if you're going to go sit at a poker table and all you got is a pair of deuces, well, guess what? You're going to have to, like, you know, be creative. Whereas if you have a pair of aces, well, things will be a little different. So it's really ironic that the fans here in Vancouver piled on Tortorella for not doing, in terms of not taking advantage of his personnel. And then you got a guy like Trotz who did, and yet fans are looking at Trotz and saying, well, and we really don't want this guy in Vancouver because of the fact that he coaches defensive hockey. Trotz was interviewed by Ben Kuzma of the Province, province.com, and Kuz, you know, talked to him and said, hey, you know, Trotz was out saying, hey, if I got offensive players, I can coach offense. I mean, that's what coaches do. Good coaches find a way to put their players in a position to win. And I think if Trotz is in Vancouver, I don't think you'd see this, you know, kitty bar the door, let's hope for a 2-1 victory or 1-0 victory type of game.
Bob Marjanovic from Team 1040 in Vancouver joins us. Benning's announcements, I guess official, we're hearing on Friday. What have you seen? It's very early, Moj, as far as Trevor Linden and how he will run the organization different than Gillis. Now, I know he's not the GM, but the president's kind of like the above GM now in a lot of hockey worlds. What do you think Linden's going to bring different that the organization hasn't had for the last few years?
Well, I will say this. He's going to bring a positive vibe to the organization. When he was – it was amazing, guys. Like, I mean, that last game of the season where, you know, you heard the Fire Mike Gillis chant in the stands on a Sunday night, and a couple days later, Trevor Linden is being introduced as, you know, the director of hockey operations for the organization. It was just like – it was almost like having a tornado, and then, like, you know, 20 minutes later, you have a big, huge ray of sunshine coming in. And that's what it was like in Vancouver with Linden's hiring, Gillis's dismissal. I mean, Mike Gillis really rubbed a lot of people the wrong way. I mean, Mike Gillis, to be honest, his people skills were almost non-existent. I mean, he did a weekly hit with us on the radio, and, you know, I think he'd be happier going to the dentist and getting a root canal. It just wasn't his forte. It wasn't his strength. And that's the one thing that Trevor brings to the table is his ability to relate to people, his ability to, you know, get people on board. And I think that's going to bode extremely well for the organization. That's what Trevor really brings to this organization is the fact that here's a guy who knows the market. People in this market love him. Let's put it to you this way. He's got a lot of rope to play with here in Vancouver, and he's brought some optimism to the organization. That's probably the biggest thing that, you know, when you look at this organization from outside and what's Trevor Linden bringing to it, that's probably the biggest thing. And when you talk about what he has to learn, well, you know, one of the things that he has to learn and one of the things that he's doing right now, I think, is reestablishing trust, not only within the organization but around the National Hockey League, and rebuilding the credibility, so to speak, within the organization and rebuilding the credibility and restoring relationships around the league. And I think that's one thing that, you know, talking to a fellow general manager in terms of what Trevor's doing in Vancouver, that's the one thing he noted. He says Trevor already is, you know, mending some of those fences and, you know, repairing some of those burned bridges that the Gillis era saw here in Vancouver.
Moj, always great to catch up with you. We'll tell Struds you said hello.
Yeah, well, tell Struts that if I'm going to check the Craigslist in Edmonton tonight and I see two donkeys for sale with his phone number, he's in hot water.
You betcha, Moj. We'll talk to you again soon.
All the best.